Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Welcome to They Overcame. We're here to give God glory. We're here to give God praise. That's why we were created. And we thank God for just the opportunity to praise his name, for having something to praise his name for. He said, what do I have to praise the Lord for? I don't have money in the bank. I don't have the things that I want. And some of the things that I need, I don't think I'm going to get them. But you woke up this morning, you were able to breathe, you were able to get out of the bed and get yourself dressed or whatever you're doing now. And God deserves the praise, the honor, and the glory. Don't think that your alarm clock woke you up this morning. It wasn't your alarm clock. It was the glory of God. And I just praise God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Thank God for this day. Thank God for this broadcast. I just thank God for this morning, waking up this morning. I woke up before my alarm clock actually went off, and just thinking about the goodness of God and all that he's done for us. Things that sometimes we don't even deserve, but God is faithful and God is loving, and so he continues to bless us and wake us up in the morning, and I'm just thankful. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Good morning, sweetheart. I'm just happy to be here this morning. Like you, I just feel so blessed, no matter what the circumstances might seem around. We're just blessed to be in the land of the living, blessed to have our mind, our health, our strength, blessed just to know that the true and the living God is our God, and we belong to him, giving us hope, hope that there is, we just know that there's hope for our future, hope for our lives, and something we don't even have to wait for the great by and by to experience. But our God is faithful. He's showing us every day that he's faithful, and if we'll just trust in him, we will be blessed, because the Bible lets us know that blessed is the man that trusts in him. So let's just be thankful for all that we have, and just thankful that God has spared our lives one more time.
Amen. I'm just thinking about what we were going through, some things in our shed, and found some things that had been packed away. And one of them was from a proverb: trust in the Lord with all thy might, and not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And, of course, that's Proverbs. I said Psalms, but I meant Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that was one of the favorite scriptures that I had early on. That was it's still one of my favorite scriptures, but trust in the Lord. We a lot of times we're not trusting in God, and that's how we can become discouraged, and that's how we become, worried, because we're not putting that full trust in what we need to put our trust in. We sometimes trust in things that will fail us. So trust in the Lord with all thy might. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen, amen, amen. Well, babe, can you open us up with prayer?
Yes, let's all just look to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this day, and we say thank you. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you, Lord God, for just giving us every blessing that we are walking in right now. We thank you for our shelter, the food that we've eaten, the clothes on our back. Lord God, we thank you for our jobs, for our homes, for our children, our families. We thank you, Lord God, for being our Savior, our provider, our everything, our all in all. We have so much to thank you for, and we can't even just tell it all. In fact, we can't even begin to think of it all because you bless us in so many ways that we don't even see and notice. But every breath that we take is because you are blessing us. Every hair on our head is because you have numbered it and placed it there. Knowing who we are, knowing what we are going through, we just thank you, Lord God, for having faith in you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for peace. We thank you for joy. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the mighty God and that we are your children. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for every provision, for every promise that you made to us, knowing that it shall come to pass. And so many have already come to pass, showing forth your word faithful, showing forth your power, your might. We just thank you, Lord God, that you are God, that there is none like you in all the earth and all of heaven. You are the only one, Lord God, that we put our confidence in. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for this broadcast on this day. And we thank you for every listener that is listening in, both live and in the future through the archives. We thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing for them, what you shall do for them. Right now, Lord God, we just pray your blessings upon this broadcast and every listener. Lord God, let the words that go forth today, let them be medicine, let them be healing, let them be strength, let them provoke hope, hallelujah, and faith in the listeners and even the speakers, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every need that is expressed, even in thought, Lord God, and in our heart, because you know our heart, Lord God, even those things that we cannot utter, that we don't know how to put in words, but you know exactly what we need. Father, we just pray right now for blessings, for peace, for deliverance. Move in that home, Lord God, that has a financial need, that's going through the turmoil. Lord God, withhold the hand of the enemy right now. Hold back the hand of those that would destroy, that would strip them of the things that they have. But Lord God, make a way. Make a way. We just thank you, Lord God. Make a way right now in the name of Jesus. That relationship that seems to be breaking, that heart that's breaking right along with it, heal and deliver, Lord God. Men, broken hearts, Lord God, men, relationships, Lord God, bring our minds back to where they should be. Those thoughts of hopelessness and doubt, turn them around in the name of Jesus, that we know that we have hope and that we trust in you. Lord God, restore the love in marriages right now. Lord God, even the relationship between siblings and mother and daughter and father and son, Lord God, restore it right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord God, we just look to you, knowing that you shall and have declared that these things are done, that if we just ask anything in your name, if we touch and agree, if we believe, hallelujah, that it shall be done. This morning, Lord God, we come before you doing all these things. In Jesus' name, bless that congregation, Lord God, that seems to be going through. Oh, hallelujah, touch their leadership. Give them wisdom. Give them words of knowledge. Give them words of encouragement. Give them the prophecies, Lord God, to speak into your people. Hallelujah, the day that the flock will not be scattered. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord God, and just bless the station today, Lord God. Bless our host, Lord God, as she goes through the affairs of her life, Lord God. even expecting a miracle. We stand in agreement with her, expecting a miracle, hallelujah, in our legal system to just come through. And hallelujah, we look for the testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness, your power, Lord God, knowing that the heart of the king is in your hand. Right now, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for every blessing. We thank you for every promise. We know that your word is true and that you will honor everything that you have uttered to us, that you have put in your word, even the thoughts that you have toward us, Lord God, that they will come to an expected end in the lives of your people. We thank you, hallelujah, and we say thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey, for that. Well, I am excited, as always. But I am excited because, honey, do you know we are approaching 1 year of broadcasting? We have been on the air in November for 1 year. Isn't that awesome?
That doesn't even seem possible, but just the goodness of the Lord that has both kept us and has kept this broadcast going, and just thinking about all the awesome testimonies that we've heard showing forth God's goodness. And we just thank God for this time that we've spent in this ministry, knowing that God is being glorified, and we know that we have been edified, and God's people are being edified. We just thank God for that.
Yes, yes. Just thinking back on all of the awesome, awesome, awesome testimonies that we've had, it's just inspiring to hear what God is doing for his people. And yes, we have the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us what he's done for his people, and we can read about them, but to see the handiwork of God in this time, in our time, and the things that he's doing, and he hasn't stopped doing the miracles that he did when Jesus was walking the earth. He's still raising the dead. We're going to be rebroadcasting some of the testimonies that were so inspiring and just all in all. We've had Cornell Richards Sr., who was raised from the dead. We have Bishop Corinthus Patterson, who was on the same broadcast that fell, I think he said, like 13 feet from his ceiling. He fell through the ceiling.
From his attic, yes.
Yes, into his one of his bathrooms, a small space, and how God protected him even in the fall. We're going to be rebroadcasting some of those awesome testimonies so that those that were not a part of us during that time will be able to hear some of the broadcasts. And then, as always, we invite you to always call in, send in, or rather for you to call in, but send in your testimonies. We will read them over the air for everyone to hear. God is doing great and miraculous things for his people. And we just want to invite you to listen in every day. Evangelist Adrienne Bernard has a mighty powerful broadcast that she does daily on this same number, 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock, well, let me start, Pacific Time is 1 o'clock. We broadcast at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, and then 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time at this same number. New Destiny Ministry. Join her. Listen to what God is saying to his people through the mighty women of God, women and men of God that Evangelist Adrian Bernard has on. And then sometimes God inspires her to speak, and she's an awesome, awesome, mighty woman of God. And then every Saturday, we're here at 8 o'clock our time, 5 o'clock Pacific time. So some of her listeners in California and Pacific time may not get up. But if you have an awesome testimony, then just set your alarm or ask the Lord to wake you up so that you can call in and give testimony of what God is doing in your life. And then on Sunday morning, she is hosting a prayer, and I think she's for about an hour. She prays, and honey, what time is that? I'm not sure. I think it's 7 o'clock Pacific time, because I know that it's during church during the time that she's broadcasting. I think it's 10 o'clock our time, and
yeah, that would be 10 o'clock our time.
Yeah, yes, 9 o'clock standard time. So any time, just call in. She's here faithfully every day with the broadcast. We're here, thank God, every Saturday with the broadcast. And then join her for prayer. If you're not at church, or if it's during a time when you can call in, just give a call in to be a part of that prayer. Well, honey, last week you briefly gave, yes, well, you gave your testimony, but I would like for you to give it again, because it was, I'm so thankful to God for the things that he's done in our family. We've had some awesome testimonies just in our family alone. So I know that God is doing great things for other families, but he's just blessing us and blessing us and making ways out of no way, where we don't see a way, where we think, you know, not necessarily we think, but it appears that we will come to a disaster. But God steps in and averts what the enemy was trying to do in our life. So, honey, just give us that testimony again of what God did for our family.
First of all, I'd just like to praise and thank God for his faithfulness. He is a mighty God. He is a faithful God. And his word is ever true. And I just thank God for who he is. I can't say that enough. And with that being said, I'd just like to reflect on what God has done in our lives, in my job situation, and I'll say our job situation, because we are one. But there was some time ago, well, first of all, let me start off by saying that there was a time that I had a different employer than I do now, and I worked for a very large Fortune 500, probably Fortune 100 corporation, Ford Motor Company. And that was during a time when I had, by the time I finished there, I had worked about 21 years with them. And in that type of corporation, by that time, my pay had gotten to where it was very, very good. But you know what? Things of this earth don't last always. But in the turmoil of things, the auto industry and all that it was going through, and then just our circumstances, I ended up unemployed from Ford. And there I was then with no income. Fortunately, they did bless me with a significant severance package, but it didn't take but a few months to actually live through that. And And God's just always been a blessing to me in that I've spent very little time of my adult life being unemployed, and that's just a gift from God. I don't point to myself for that. I give all the glory and praise to God for that. But at any rate, there I was unemployed and just not knowing what to do. And I had, during that time, I had been looking for work and looking for work, work at the level that I was used to being paid at, or even close, or even halfway, and just was not able to land anything. But God sustained us throughout that time. And lo and behold, one day I remember going on an interview and just taking or speaking to the hiring manager, realizing my age and realizing my credentials, how they compared to the job that I was going at. It was just a dock worker in a warehouse. And I just kind of asked him to stop looking at my resume and stop looking at my age, because even though they're not able to legally talk about your age, I mean, I was gray, so obviously I was no young man. I said, sir, if you would just put all of that aside and just consider, if you do consider my resume, consider that I've worked only a few jobs, and each of those I was there a significant amount of time, which says that I stay places. I'm a stable person. And obviously, because I've moved up through the ranks, I am a dependable person. And if you'll just consider that, and I have to chuckle every now and then, because the job was advertised at a particular wage range. And I said, if you will just consider all of that, I will be glad to do your job for you at a rate that I named. You know, a lot of times people are, and I have been, afraid to talk about salary or pay rate, but they gave me a range. So I said, for the top pay of that range, I'll be glad to do this job for you. And lo and behold, he hired me, and then, but still, it was probably not even a third of what I was used to making. And I stayed there for about a year, and then a position opened up through the state of North Carolina. I actually interviewed three times for that job, and the third time I was so really upset and irritated, because the interview was probably about maybe 25 to 30 or so, probably 30 miles away. The job was going to require me some driving. But I had interviewed, and I knew that I had done an excellent job of the interview through the grace of God the first time around, and never heard back from them. And then lo and behold, that same office had another posting, and I applied again because I was just looking for better. And I was looking to get out of that warehouse. I was working circles around a bunch of younger men than me, but it was taking its toll on my body. And so, again, I applied and was called for an interview. And the same interview panel, I sat there, and again, I knew I had done an excellent job with the interview. And again, no call. And then a third time, lo and behold, another posting. I applied on it again and was called for an interview. Well, by this time I will admit, I had a little bit of an attitude. And all I can just say is, obviously my resume and application are good enough for them to know that they're interested. Why in the world won't they just hire me? And when I thought about that, I think the night before my interview, or the day before, I discussed with my wife. I said, you know what? I've been down there twice, and nothing's come of it, and it's really kind of far, and I really don't want to be bothered with them. And she supported me. She said, you know, if you don't want to do that, maybe you just shouldn't go. And so I'd made up my mind. I was just going to blow off this interview. And then the next day when I was at my job that I was working, you know, just kind of discussed with some of my coworkers what I said. I mean, what do you have to lose? And, you know, I said, well, you know, you're right. So I decided to go on this last time for this interview. But you know what? Even though I went to the interview, my heart wasn't in it, and I really didn't prepare myself mentally like I typically do. And whatever questions came, I just say, you know, I'm just roll with them. You know, I didn't have a lot of energy or anything. I didn't feel like it was a good interview, and because I knew I really didn't try to make it that great of an interview. I just say, you know, I'll just go and see what happens. Well, lo and behold, just a few weeks later, probably not more than a couple weeks later, I got a call, and I was asked if I was still interested, and I was, yes, I am, and they offered me the job with the state of North Carolina. And I was, you know, really excited and surprised. And as I did meet with them and started, both managers let me know that when we interviewed with you the very first time, we knew that we wanted you. And we did everything we could to get you, but things just kept getting in the way. And state bureaucracies, I can understand that. But lo and behold, there I was hired in one of the field offices. And it was not a permanent job. It was a time-limited job, but they did keep extending it. But my manager let me know that you got to go on and apply on permanent jobs, even if it's not with this office. We want you to stay in the system. So I did, and lo and behold, I was given a job at the central office, a permanent job. And so now this is probably a little less or right around 3 years ago. And then I continued to apply for other things because still the money was better, but it just still wasn't there. But the great testimony is that God has been sustaining us throughout all of this, because that was, again, probably way less than half of what I was earning at Ford. But God continued to just put food on our table. You know, with what I was making, we were still able to make rent and buy food, keep our cars going. We didn't miss anything. No utilities were turned off. God is just faithful. He just blessed us throughout all of this. Well, recently, I then applied for a supervisory job, came open in my office, and I applied for it, and got the interview. And when I went in for the interview, God just let me know that, you know, without, you know, me trying to boast of myself, God let me know that that was a good interview. And I just walked out of there feeling like after that interview, there's absolutely no reason that they should not hire me for this job. But at the same time, there were a lot of people that had interviewed, even in my same office, including the team that I was going to be supervising. The team leader, who was kind of doing a lot of the responsibility at the time, was one of them. But God just gave me kind of an assurance that I was the one. And then he allowed one of the interviewing committee, who is one of the directors, he stopped me kind of in amazement or surprise the next couple of days and said, "Albert, great interview." And that's a band that had not really said, you know, really anything positive to me throughout my time there. You know, we tended to have kind of a mutual respect for one another based upon our ages, but he just seemed so overwhelmingly surprised at how my interview went, which said to me that this band is going to have something to say about who gets hired. And I felt like that was his way of letting me know that I was the one. But you know what? Time went on, and unfortunately, I let a couple of my coworkers let the cat out of the bag that I'd interviewed. With some of them, it was cool. One or two of them that really kind of annoyed me by just asking every so often, "Have you heard anything about the job?" I'm like, "Would you leave me alone?" But I was thinking the same thing. What's going on? And then I noticed the manager that I would be working for, it seemed to me, and this was the devil in my mind, it seemed to me that all of a sudden her and who was the team lead on this other team were spending a lot of time together. And I'm like, you know, the devil's got me thinking, yeah, they're kind of doing the transition now, even though it's not official. But, you know, she knows that that's who's going to be. And then I just would rebuke that. And I didn't mention it. Every now and then my wife would ask about it, and I just said, "I haven't heard anything." But I didn't mention it at all. I didn't mention any of these thoughts or anything. But every time a negative thought would come out, I would just begin to praise God and thank Him for that job and just know and be clear that that's mine. And so, and then sometime I would even look at the emails that came out, and I would see this other person's name that was listed with the supervisors, and that just I would think, "Oh, she's got it." But then the Holy Spirit would allow me to think more rationally. Right now, she's the only one that they got, so they got to include us, but that doesn't mean anything. But I never doubted God. I always believed God, and I just trusted Him for that position. And then probably it had to be almost 3 months later. One day I had gone to lunch and, you know, gotten out of my system. Lunch was over. I opened up my email again, and there was a message there from the director, "See me when you get a minute." And I tell you, you've heard of people talking about their heart skipping a beat. Well, my heart skipped a beat. A lump got in my throat, and I said, "Okay, here we go. I'm either going to get consolation or I'm going to get the job." And then I declared to myself, "I'm going in here to get the job." So when I went in, she asked me to close the door, said, "Let me know, you interviewed for such and such job. Are you still interested in it?" And of course, my answer was yes. She said, "Well, I'm offering you the job." So she offered me the job. I accepted. It was effective immediately. And when I looked at the pay, she had the formal letter of offer there. She pointed to the pay. She said, "Here's the pay." She said, "I wish it could be more." And, of course, I'm thinking to myself, me too. But I had already calculated what I thought the pay was going to be based upon the pay scales, because it's published. And knowing that you get the minimum. So I had already calculated that in my mind. And I didn't remember what the raw number was, but I remembered that the increase would have been X number of dollars per month for me because we get paid once a month. Well, when I went back to my desk and later on that day, I looked, or it was even the next day, I looked at that letter again and I looked at that number. And then when I did the calculation of what the increase was, it was more per month than I was anticipating. So the pay was higher than I was expecting, and that's a blessing. And then when I think about it, we were going through a period where we were just so far behind in a lot of things that there was just liberal overtime. So I was working as much overtime as I could. Every opportunity I was working over and helping to supplement things. And then all of a sudden we got a memo that at the end of next week the overtime is over. So with us being paid once a month and the pay kind of being, you know, delayed a month like that, it turned out, this is just how good God is, that the timing of my promotion coincided with the end of our overtime, and the difference in pay was so close to what I was getting in extra pay and overtime that the overtime was cut, but my pay continued, and it's something I don't have to worry about with overtime. It's just what they're going to be paying me every month. And I just thank God for how he just takes care of all the details. Such a blessing both to me, to my family financially, and I just thank God for it. He's just good. Just want to let anybody know, if you believe in God for something, never stop believing, because he is faithful, he's just, he will come through, just like he said he would. The promises of God are true. His word is, and his promises are yea and amen, and there's nothing that no one can do about that. All you have to do is just have faith, believe, receive, and just walk in your blessing. And I just thank God for that.
Amen. And I thank God for that too. God is just so good and so faithful. It just amazes me, honey, how with the pay that you were making with Ford, how we have been able to still, like you say, no utilities turned off. God has sustained us and he's kept us. And I attribute that to, we are tithers and we never stop tithing. Whatever we get, we tithe to the Lord and give an offering. Not as much as we would like to, not as much as we're used to giving, but we have always been faithful tithers. And so God promised that he would take care of us. He promised that he would open the windows of heaven. And I'm waiting for that abundant blessing that he's going to give us. And I know that he will. I know that he will, because he's faithful, and we're faithful to the things of God, not to everything. We're not perfect. There's you know, we don't boast that we're perfect, but we do try to do the things that that we feel like God has called us to do. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, honey, for giving your testimony again. And I see we have a caller. I don't know if the caller wants to say anything, but it's here in our home, 919-8991. And if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to say anything, but I'm just going to give you an opportunity if you would like to say something. So are you there, caller?
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Carolyn?
Yes, it is. I finally was able to catch your broadcast. I came in about 10 minutes ago. I'm just listening in, and As always, it's a pleasure to fellowship with you and your husband and family, whether it's by this call or church or wherever. I thank God for you all.
Amen.
And I'm just listening in.
Okay, okay. Well, thank you for calling in. And Carolyn is a dear friend. We haven't gotten a chance to really get close, but we have a like spirit. And I just thank God for you calling in and listening in to the broadcast today. Well, we are so excited. We're going to be, like I said a little earlier, we will be broadcasting. It's been a year in November that we've been on the broadcast. Bless the Lord. And I'm just so excited for what God has. The broadcast has really not gone the way that I planned for it to go, but I told God, and I'm continually telling him that this is your broadcast, Lord. I want you to do, I want you to be glorified. And God has given us some people that have given awesome, awesome, awesome testimonies about the goodness of God and the things that he's doing in their lives and how he's blessing and delivering and raising from the dead. I just thank the Lord. And I will be rebroadcasting some of those earlier testimonies and some of the later ones too, to let the listeners know and hear and get ready for November. We have some awesome things that we're planning for the broadcast in November. And we're still going to be doing the testimonies. And, of course, that's what this broadcast is about. We're here to give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. It belongs to him, and we want to give it to him. And as our title of our broadcast is They Overcame, of course, that's out of Revelation 11, I believe. Is that right, honey?
Amen. Yes, it is.
That's a shame. But anyway, I know the scripture.
Revelation 12:11.
12:11, okay. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So testimonies are powerful. They're overcoming. They allow you to see what God is doing in other people's lives. And then we know that the scripture says that he is no respecter of persons. So what he's done for us, how he sustained us, how he's raised some from the dead, how he's delivered some out of us, some of the things that we think in our finite mind that you can never be delivered from, God is doing those things, and we want to get the word out about the things that God is doing so he can be glorified. And then once he's glorified, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. What a powerful thing for us, for God to use us to draw men to himself. And I say men, and I'm talking about men and women, but I say men in the generic form. But he's drawing. We don't get a lot of callers, which is kind of surprising to me, but we don't get a lot of callers. But when I look at the archives and I see that people are listening, they're tuning in to what God is doing, and the number grows. Sometimes it's not as great as others, but I'm not discouraged. I just believe God has ordained this broadcast, and I believe that it's doing what God has designed for it to do. It's reaching those that need to hear. Amen, amen, amen. So, honey, do you have anything else you want to say? That's powerful. I just thank God for my husband. He is such a blessing, and I used to always say to him earlier in our marriage, and we will be celebrating how many years, honey, next month?
28.
Amen.
actually
he remembers. I'm the one that always kind of gets it messed up. But yes, we will be celebrating 28 years of a wonderful marriage. Not that we haven't, you know, had our disagreements. Not that we haven't even at times. I say people that say that they never go to bed angry. I don't know how they do that, but maybe they're just a little more saved than I am. But I have gone to bed angry, and so has my husband. But, you know, we determined early when we got married, even before we got married, we talked about it, and this is it. And it's for life. You're not getting rid of me. I'm not getting rid of you. And it's been such a blessing. We raised our children, and now everyone is grown. So now it's just time for he and I. But I must say that we have always, well, when the boys were younger, we really didn't get a chance to do things. We did things together as a family. But as the boys have gotten older, we started spending more time with one another, and we really enjoy each other's company, don't we, babe?
Yes, we do. We really do. I get to experience a lot of different places that other men don't get to experience. Yeah, but just the time together. The time together is just good, and I think I just enjoy the fact that we can enjoy each other. That you know, we don't have to have that. I don't need, not that we have space for it, but I don't need a man cave like some men need. I just thank God for providing me with the wife of my dreams. And I just thank God for that.
Hey, man. That's so sweet. But anyway, he has really been a blessing to me, and I thank God from the bottom of my heart for giving me the husband that he's given me, and looking forward to spending all of our days together. I love you, honey.
Love you back.
Okay. All righty. Well, we're going to listen to a segment of Pastor Wiley Mayberry. He is the assistant pastor in his church, and his testimony was so inspiring and so awe. I was in awe just listening to the testimony. And so I just want to rebroadcast a segment of it now for our listeners to hear.
Amen. Yes, I am married. My wife and I will be married 8 years on October 8th. So I thank God every single day that I get to wake up and see her face. We have three beautiful children, Shamar, Zion, and Diane. Now,
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't think that that's being heard well, so I'm going to try to
they don't like the position
get over.
They don't like being the younger, so they try to take over.
Right.
Amen. That's such a blessing. And, you know, like I'm
well, we're going to try something else. I'm going to go Okay, now I think that we have this so that it can be heard.
By Pastor Linda, I said, since he was our guest on last week, just a blessing. He was special guest on last week. I don't know if that stands to like this. Don't host radio.
All right, well, I don't think we're going to be able to do that this week. So we will try again next week. I don't know what happened last time. I didn't have any problems with it, but we're not able to hear this testimony at this time. So we're going to go on and okay. Well, anyway, we just thank God for this, and I don't know what's happening that we're not able to hear the testimony. We have done this before, so we are able to rebroadcast. But we just thank God for the broadcast, and like I said, in this year's time that we've been on, we have been blessed with so many
lessons.
Awesome.
I don't know if that's
okay. Now I'm hearing it, but I'm not hearing it over the radio.
But did you get a chance to hear it on my Facebook page? Did you listen to the testimony on my Facebook page?
I did. I had the opportunity to listen in and listen to her share her testimony. I've actually had the opportunity to hear her share several times off the book of God. He's actually the one that got me the courage to step out and share my own story. Different about me.
mother was a struggling single parent. At the time, it was just my mother and I. My sister came along 8 years later. But my father was on drugs, and he was an alcoholic. And he was a vicious alcoholic and a vicious drug addict. And I say vicious because when I would see him and when he would come around, he would be so high on drugs that he would beat my mother. And you can imagine this 4 and 5 year old having to stand and just watch his father smash his mother's face between the wall and the refrigerator because my mom didn't want him coming around me that way, and she didn't want him bringing drugs in the house. So I remember one day I asked my mother, what happened? You know, why was he doing this to her? And I remember her telling me, because I was a little bit older when I asked, I remember her telling me, and she said, he brought some drugs in the house, and I flushed them down the toilet. Found out that he was upset with me. And so after that, I remember my father being in and out of my life constantly. And I can always remember wondering where he was, what he was doing, why he was not there. Now, this is important because this shapes my emotional self. My father not being in the picture has the power to shape my emotional stability or instability. I often wondered if it was me, if I was the reason why he was not coming around, if I was the reason why he was not staying around and helping my mother raise me and take care of me. I love my father, and I knew that he loved me, but I wanted to know what it was that was not keeping him around. So going into elementary school, I started to notice the differences between myself and some of the other young men in my classroom, some of the other young men that were around me. I noticed that, you know, everybody, they all talking about girlfriends and talking about the girls and, you know, talking about how many girlfriends they had and all the girls and them, but that wasn't the case for me. I wasn't well-groomed. My mother couldn't afford to buy me the latest fashion. I wasn't well manicured. My hair wasn't always cut, so I didn't look as good as some of the other boys looked. And so that often caused some of the cute girls in the classroom to turn away from me. So I was kind of seen as a friend or a good brother, but I was never seen like some of the other boys were seen. And so instantly that brought on a fear of rejection in me. Now then, I could not identify what I was feeling, but now, as I look back retrospectively, I that's what it was, that rejection set on early in life. And so as I suffered my way through elementary school, I became the target for ridicule. It was like I had a bullseye in the front of my shirt or in the middle of my shirt, and I became the target for ridicule because of my lack, because of poverty. And so materialistic things began to be very important to me. When I got a new pair of shoes, I took good care of them, which was rare. And so this rejection that I suffered throughout my childhood began to make me feel like even more of an outcast. But as I got older, into middle school, I started to realize that not only did I not have a girlfriend, but I didn't have the desire to. And I started to wonder, if there's something wrong with me? I don't have girlfriends, and I don't want girlfriends. I don't look at the girls like the other boys look at the girls. Now, I'm not sure if that was shaped by the rejection that I had suffered early on by some of the girls that I did like. But I am certain that when I got into middle school, I was able to readily identify with the fact that I did not like girls. And I knew that there was something wrong. I remember asking my mother one day if it was wrong if a boy does not like girls. And I remember her telling me yes, and I think she got nervous that I was going to tell her that I did not like girls. And she began to tell me how wrong that was, and it wasn't good, and I said I not like boys. And instantly this fear set me. So I went on this silent journey of rejection. I started this silent journey of depression. I had to repress my emotions and repress my feelings and hold them in because I didn't want to make my mother angry and suffer more rejection at home. sister was just born, and it led to us being placed in foster care. And thank God we weren't separated. We were placed in the care of my maternal aunt. And we didn't think anything of it. You know, my sister was a baby. I was still very young. I didn't think that it would last that long, but I believe we were away from my mom for about 5 or 6 years. And it was during that time when I was staying with my maternal aunt that I had my first sexual experience with another boy my age. And he approached me. We were at home one day. It was one of my cousins, and we were at home one day, and he said, "Hey, you want to play a game?" And I wasn't sure about it, but once I saw where it was going and my fear of being rejected again, because I knew if I said no, he wouldn't want to play with me. And so I said, okay, I'll go along with it. And I went along with it. And we did some things that I learned and I knew were very inappropriate. But what was scary to me was that I enjoyed it. I knew it was wrong, but I enjoyed it. So something in me identified with the behavior that had just taken place, with actions that had just taken place. And so moving on, we did that several times. And my next sexual experience was from an older guy who was supposed to be babysitting me. It was just him and I at the house. He was much older than myself. And he asked if I wanted to try something. And I went along with it. And that went from there. So these sexual experiences went from someone my age to a couple of other experiences where the men were much older than myself and much more dominating than myself. And I learned later on that I accepted that. Some of the things that they would say to me, some of the abuse that I would suffer, some of the way that they would treat me or toss me aside once they were done with me, I learned that I accepted that because I wanted that dominating figure in my life because I didn't have my father around. So growing up and suffering through all of these processes and suffering through all of this confusion now in my mind because now my sexual identity has been shaped and my emotional identity has been shaped around these experiences that I've had with these other young men. And so going into high school, as you can imagine, opened me up to a world of confusion. And the school that I went to was so large, it was so enormous that you had some of everything in that school. Everybody from every walk of life, from every nationality, you had represented in that school. And so in that place, it was a place for me to hide my feelings and emotions, but it was also a place for me to get into some secret relationships and get into some things that I know I should not have gotten into, but it was a place for me to express who I thought I was or who I thought I'd identified with sexually, which I thought that during that time I was gay. That's who I am. That's how I identified myself internally. But I knew that on the other end it was wrong, and so there was one crowd that I had to hide that from. And so that was the church crowd. That was the gospel crew I had to hide that from because it wasn't accepted. It was widely rejected, and anyone who showed signs of being a homosexual at that time was instantly ridiculed and rejected, and I could not bear it. So that was something that I had to express and I had to hide. I was in the church, and at that time, I went to a large church, and there was no room, no space for me to talk about my sexual issues and what I was dealing with. As a matter of fact, I saw even more ridicule in my church by ministers and older men and older women. They would ridicule some of the young men that were walking around who were obviously more feminine than others, and they would ridicule them. And so I thought to myself, oh, my Lord, what would happen if I let them in on this part of my life? And so this is going to be a very scary journey for me because I had no one to talk to and nowhere to turn to really share what was going on with me, how I was feeling. I had no one to share with me the emotions that I was going through. When I was in high school, I went through an emotional roller coaster because I had on one end, I knew the way that I felt was wrong, but on the other end, I did not know what to do about it. So I resolved that this is how it was going to be for the rest of my life. And so continuing on with this journey, I suffered through those 4 years, through my high school, through adolescence. I suffered through those years, not having anyone to talk to, not really feeling the issues that I had with my sexuality. I started getting on to chat lines, and I started getting on to websites, and I started developing these addictions to pornography and talking to older men on chat lines, on the website, and on the telephone, and running bills up, and my mother was wanting to know what's going on and what's happening. And I remember one day, my mother found out that I was watching pornography on the television. It came on the cable bill. And she brought the cable bill up to my high school and showed it to one of my male teachers in hopes that he would be able to help me, because she was desperate to find a man to reach out to me and to pour into me. And I just remember my mother being extremely angry with me for watching those things, seeing those things. And so I just remember this cloud of darkness that came over me when he, when this male teacher approached me and said, "This is what your mom said she's been doing." And he didn't rebuke me. He didn't say, "It's wrong, don't do it again." He said to me, "If you're going to do it, just do it smart and don't get caught." Well, that buried me even deeper, because now this person that my mother had reached out to that could have said some life-inspiring things to me, pushed me further into it, encouraged me further into it. So it's normal behavior for young men. You can do it. Just don't let your mother find out you're doing it. Don't get caught. Don't be buying up all of this stuff and having her charged for it, because you're going to get in trouble. And that was the extent of our conversation. So from that place, my mother and I, our relationship became very strained, because she was now becoming curious about my sexuality and who I was. So everyone that came into my life, every person that came into my life, every male that came into my life, she assumed that we were having some type of sexual relationship. And it made her very, very angry. And so that made that time even more difficult for me to handle and to deal with. I remember I had a cousin that called me and she said, "Listen, if you're gay, then talk to me about it. Then tell me about it. I won't tell anybody. Please don't let your mother find out, because she already said she's going to put you out." And so that instantly set a fear in me, because I didn't have anywhere else to go. So I knew I had to continue to hide these desires and hide this struggle from my mother now, from my church now, and from certain other individuals that were in my life, because I didn't want to be rejected by a group that did accept me. But I understood that if I released the fact that I was struggling with homosexuality and this is something that I was dealing with, I knew that I would be widely rejected by some of those people. So I do thank God that towards the end of my high school years and my journey in high school, that God did send a group of young men into my life that were able to walked me through this. They understood the struggle that I was going through. And though they did not struggle with this firsthand, their friendship and their brotherhood and their love for me was so amazing that it did give me some hope of one day being free. They walked me through some deliverance process. We went through the word and we went through fasting, and they gave me strong accountability. They kept watch over who I was talking to, who I was around, what I was entertaining. And we're in high school now. So God sent these young men to be in my life to give me a glimmer of hope where I thought I had become hopeless. I thought my situation had become hopeless, but God sent them in to let me know that God still has the ability to deliver me and to heal me. Do you have any questions up until this point, Tina?
No, go on.
So moving on, after graduation from high school, I met my wife in high school. Actually, we are high school sweethearts, and I think that she's the most amazing thing that happened to me, because she knew my struggle before we got married.
And I often asked her, well, what made you marry me anyway? What made you stay with me anyway? And she said, because I loved you and because I had faith in you. And because I knew that you wanted to be free from this. So as long as you were going to fight this, I was going to stand by you. And from that place, I knew she was the one that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Now, my mindset when I got married, I had gone through deliverance and I had gone through receiving ministry from homosexuality, and I had gone through receiving deliverance from these feelings and emotions that I had towards other men, because at this point, I absolutely positively had zero attraction to women. There was nothing about a woman that attracted me, and that scared me. But when I met my wife, something turned on in me. And so I said, well, maybe there is some hope, and maybe I can marry the rest of this gay away. Meaning that if I got married and I became one with my wife, with the only woman that caught my attention, the only woman that attracted me, if I married her, maybe that would deal with the rest of these feelings and emotions and things that were still brewing inside of me. And I learned that that is the greatest falsehood that anybody could ever believe. Because what happened with that is it took the struggles and it took the things even deeper. After we got married, after our first year of marriage, my homosexual desires became seemingly even stronger. And so at this time, I'm confused. I'm like, God, I'm married. I love this woman. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. I want to start a family with her. What is happening to me? Why are these feelings coming back? And it was almost as if it were uncontrollable. And so I started back. We were having some problems. My wife and I, we weren't communicating like we should. And we were just having some normal first-year marital problems, understanding and learning one another. But the major problem for me was it pushed me deeper back into. It's almost like I started backtracking and going back into desiring homosexual relationships full time. And so I started calling up guys, and it got more serious this time. I was off the chat lines, I was off the website, and I was talking to real live people where we were setting up times where we could secretly meet. And I remember I worked in the afternoon, and my wife worked in the morning, so I would have the house to myself. And so we would set up meetings and set up things where we could secretly meet without anyone knowing. And something would always happen where I say, now God intervened, and we never met up, and it never happened. So I remember taking this job, and it was a job that required me to work on Sundays. By now, our church has started, and it's brand new. I'm a minister in the church. I know how important it is for me to be at church on Sundays. I know these desires and struggles are still alive in me. So I know that I cannot afford out of church. But I got this job, and I'm praying to God. I'm saying, okay, God, after my training, I'm believing you for favor, that I'm going to have Sundays off. I'm going to do something supernatural. I'm not going to have to work on Sundays, and I'll be able to go to church. And when our schedule came back, I had to work every single Sunday for a year, which put on me to be out of church for an entire year. That was the most devastating thing to me, because I've been fasting, I've been praying, and I felt like God had messed me. And so I said, you know what? I give up. I'm not in church. I don't have any accountability out here. I'm not going to try to fight this thing anymore. Whatever happens, happens. Needless to say, my relationship with my wife became very strained at that time. While I was working here at this place, I had developed a relationship with several guys. We had been talking, and I just completely made the decision to give myself over to this thing because I did not have the will, I did not have the desire, I just did not have it in me to fight anymore. I felt like God let me down. I felt like, you know, I said, God, if you really wanted me to be completely free from this, you would have made it where I would have to work on Sundays, and I would still be able to go to church, and I would still be able to see my accountability, but you didn't do that. And so I give it up. I just say, whatever happens, happens. And so I began to live this secret life. I was able to get some Sundays off here and there after the first year. And so now I'm living three different lives. You know, people say I'm living a double life. Well, I was living a triple life because at work, I developed this relationship with this guy, and he was having problems in his relationship with an openly gay, and he was in a relationship with another guy, and they were having some issues. I was having some issues with my wife, and so the devil used that to connect us, and we got connected, and we started to talk, and we started to, we would talk on the phone with one another for hours, and we would work together, we would get off of work, and we would talk on the phone until we got all the way home, so we hung up, and we were both in the house. And so our relationship became so demonic and so demonically tied. We became so demonically soul tied with one another that we even started to walk and talk and think the same. I picked up some of his characteristics, and I started to walk like him and talk like him, and he was a very angry and violent person. And this is why it's important to understand who to connect yourself with. Because you can develop a soul tie with someone without even having sex with them. And so it's important to make sure you understand who you allow in your circle. This person was violent and angry, and he would lash out unnecessarily sometimes. And I noticed that I started to pick that up. I became very angry, very silent, and it became difficult for me to even hide that when I was at home. I would go home and I would just lash out at my wife for no apparent reason. It's like that demon had jumped into me, and I would lash out at her. She would just sit back and pray. She wouldn't provoke me. She wouldn't say anything. She would sit back and pray, and that made me even more angry because she wouldn't go back and forth with me. And so after the anger calmed down, I would stop and I would say, God, what is happening to me? I'm not this person. This is not who I am. But I was connected to that demon, this relationship with this guy. And so we would take our vacation time together. When he was at work, I was at work. When he would take off, I would take off. I remember one day I had known that this thing had gone too far because we had the opportunity to change our shift and be in for shift, and I would have the opportunity to have more Sundays off. But that wasn't the schedule that he was choosing, and because we wanted to be on the same schedule, work with one another, show the same schedule, and I gave up the shift that would have given me more freedom to go to church and to receive that accountability on Sundays now. So now this has become extremely, extremely, extremely difficult for me because I realize what I have done. I have given myself completely over to this thing. So I remember one day saying, okay, God, if you don't snatch me out of this, I'm not going to snatch out of you. My relationship with this guy got deeper. And even though we didn't have sex not one time, we had developed such a soul tie. And we had developed such a connection with one another. We started planning this life to run off to Arizona together. And it was serious. I was considering what divorce from my wife would look like. And at this time, we had our first son. My son was just about 1 year old now. And I was considering what divorce would be like, how I would still support them. I still loved her, but I wanted to run off with this guy. Because I felt like I could start my life over, and I felt like I could just give in to my homosexual desires, and I didn't have to hide it anymore. We should just run away together. So we started planning to change our jobs down there. We were looking for transfers to see if our company would let us transfer to the hub down over in Arizona. We started looking up rental houses, planned a trip to go out there to look at some houses and go job hunting and look at some other jobs. We got real serious about this. We would have secret pieces. Well, I would lie to my wife and tell her I was one place, but we would be together online looking at houses, planning this getaway and when we were leaving, how it was going to happen, what was going to be done once we got there. It became very scary for me. And one of the things I can remember is that every night I would come in and I would have to look at my son and I would have to think, I'm going to do to him the same thing my father did. My father left me at one of the most critical and crucial times in my life when I was young and had the ability to shape my identity and help me understand who I am and give me courage when I felt weak and give me strength when I felt weak and give me peace of mind when I didn't feel good about myself. The father's role in the life of a child is so important. The mother was not meant to have to nurture and strengthen and do everything for the child, but there's something that God places specifically in the father, where the fathers have the ability to shape and mold the identity of a child. The fathers have the ability to shape and mold the strength and the emotional stability of their child. And my father didn't give me that. And I would look at my son and I would say, oh my Lord, I'm doing the same thing to him that my father did to me. But I didn't have the courage to tell this guy, I can't go, I can't do. So we continued on with these plans, and I started to pull back a little bit. And she noticed it, she said, you're not going to do it, are you? And I said, no, I'm still going to do it. I need to get away. My wife and I are still having problems. I'm still going to do it. I'm just trying to figure out a way to still have a relationship with my son. I'm trying to figure out a way to still have my son with me, and I know she's not going to let me take him with me, but I need to figure this out. If I can't figure out how I'm going to spend time with my son, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. So we went on with our planning. We went on and we went on. And I remember one day, I was sitting in my car. I was sitting there, and it was before work. And I was listening to the radio. I would go, and this time I was listening to all types of music. Okay. Gone away from just listening to Christian music, but I was listening to all types of music. But this particular day, I was listening to a Christian station, and I was listening to a pastor that was talking about grace, and he was talking about God's grace and sufficiency. He was talking about forgiveness. He was talking about God's mercy. And I tried to turn. I turned the radio. I said, I don't want to hear it. I tried to turn away from it. This is the last thing that I want to hear about right now. I turned to God. I ask God for grace. I ask God for mercy. I started blaming God for me being where I was. And so I turned from the station. I said, I don't want to hear it. But something controlled my fingers, and I turned back. And I sat there, and I listened to this message. And I just remember opening my mouth and saying, okay, God, if you want me to be free, you're going to have to do this. I'm getting tired of living all of these different lives. By this time, I'm a husband and a father at home. I have a boyfriend at work, and I'm a pastor and I'm a minister at church. So when I would get the opportunity to come to church, I was still recognized as, you know, Pastor Raleigh. I was one of the strong ministers in the house, and I was still singing, and I was still preaching, I was still doing these things. But all the while, I was becoming bitter, because when I would come to church, I was expecting for somebody to lay hands on me or pray for me or say something regarding my situation that would help push me out of it, but nobody said a word. And so I was tired. I became tired of hiding who I was, and I became tired of fighting in three different lives, and it just became too much for me then. And so I just was crying out to God. I said, okay, God, I'm tired. I cannot do this anymore. I cannot live like this anymore. If something is going to change, you're going to have to do it. And so I just remember sitting there, and I felt this presence come in my car. It was almost like God opened the passenger side door, got in, and sat down, and sat next to me, and I felt his presence so strong in that moment that I began to cry. And I was weak for almost an hour sitting in my car because I felt the presence of God, and I felt it in the form of love. It wasn't in the form of dispute. It wasn't in the form of hatred, because that's what I expected. I expected my next encounter with God to be in the form of dispute and to be in the form of rejection because I rejected God. So I expected God to do the same thing to me, but it was in the form of love. And it was almost as if he wrapped his arms around me in that moment and said, son, I am here. And whenever you're ready, take my hand. And I cried and I cried and I cried and I said, okay, God, I'm tired. I want to turn back to you. And it was in that moment that I felt like it was time for me to change. went on to work. Things went on as normal for a little while. I was still trying to hold up. I was afraid to tell somebody about my encounter, so I was still trying to hold up this facade. And yeah, we're moving to Arizona. And, you know, I'm still trying to maintain this relationship and still maintain this thing now that has happened to me with my encounter with God. And now I'm like, you know, I'm struggling even harder. And the guy noticed the changes first. You're not going to get this. And I looked at him and I said, you're absolutely right. I cannot move away and leave my son. I cannot do the same thing to him that my father did. So I said, you know what? I can't. I'm not moving to Arizona. I'm not running off. I'm not starting a new life. I'm going to see what it takes to repair my marriage and repair my life right now, right here, where I am. And so our relationship became a little strained. We started to separate a little bit more. And I remember I started developing a prayer life again, and I would pray God separate us, begin to separate our emotions, begin to put a wall in between us that his soul had to be broken. Every day I would go to work, I would keep a little more distance between us. And God had started making it so that our work areas would change. So certain days we wouldn't work together. And I wouldn't fight it anymore. Before we would fight it, but I wouldn't fight it anymore. I would say, okay, God, this is your way of separation. I'll take it. And so I remember coming to work one day. He was waiting on me before I went down to my work area. And he said, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. Life is hard. I'm leaving. I know you're staying. I'm quitting. Don't try to stop me. Don't run after me. He started crying and ran out the door. And in that moment, I was like, oh, my Lord, this is finally my opportunity to walk completely away from these things and be free. But it wasn't that easy. He had developed such a strong soul tie, and at that time it wasn't just him. So the journey is going on, and this is a more serious relationship that has now been broken off and separated, but I still have these other small relationships and friendships with these guys that I would talk to and that would seemingly know how to and know what to say to weaken me. And so I still had this relationship with these other guys that I knew that I needed to cut off, but I wasn't ready to completely let this life go. I was afraid to completely let it go because I didn't want to straddle the world anymore. And so after I made the decision to give my life completely back over to God, I began to pray and I began to say, okay, God, I need you. Separate me from everything and everybody that's going to hinder me from being pure, from being holy, and from being clean. And so one by one, God began to separate me from these other men that I had developed these relationships with. One by one, God began to, either phone numbers would change, people would quit, people would leave, you know, we would talk to each other for a while, stuff would happen, and we would just begin to separate, and I was like, thank Lord, because I didn't have the strength to do it on my own. And so I remember a door opened for me to take another job with another company. It was an opportunity for me to start fresh, and I said, okay, God, I want to start fresh. I don't want to take any of this with me. I don't want to take any of these people with me. Help me to start over. Help me to start fresh. Help me to start new. Help me, God. And so I took this new job. And God made it where my cell phone, where I had pictures and I had text messages, when I would have weak moments, I could go back and text one of the guys and they would respond, or I could go back and look at one of the pictures or read one of the text messages, and, you know, our conversations going back and forth. And God made it so when my phone completely broke, my phone broke in half. So I couldn't retrieve text messages, pictures, phone numbers, anything. It was almost as if God was saying, I am giving you the opportunity to have a fresh start right now. Threw the phone away, had to get a completely different phone, a completely different phone number, and now starts the process of transformation. My encounter with God that day in that car was something that gave me the strength and the ability to move forward. But the complete transformation process did not start until all of it was out of my vantage point. I didn't have any of it in my vantage point. And so I started to go through some radical deliverance. And I started fasting, and I started praying more. I was back in church again. I took this job, and I had every Sunday off. thank you to God. And so I'm developing my relationship with God back. I'm developing my relationship with my wife again. We're happy in our home. My marriage is happy. I'm here for my son. And I'm being revived again. I feel like my life is coming together again. So I'm going through my deliverance processes, and I'm still noticing some residue there. I will get discouraged because I will feel like, you know, I will have a good deliverance session, and then I will go home a week later and a thought will come in my mind. And I will go home a week later and I will see somebody walking down the street, and I will take a double look and I felt an attraction there. And I started to get discouraged, and I was like, God, I thought you completely delivered me from this. Why is this still happening to me? And so for a while, I still battled with my thought life until I started really going through the process of being completely born again, being completely renewed in my mind, being completely renewed and revived in my relationship with God. And then one day I had a deliverance session, and I prayed and I fasted and I prepared for it. And I said, okay, God, this is it. I'm letting this thing completely go. I'm letting everybody around me completely go that has anything to do with this, that has any residue with this. I'm completely letting it go, washing my hands of it. And that began my journey of freedom. So I have been free from homosexuality for just about 5 years now, and it was all due to the power of God rescuing me, pulling me out of a place where I had completely given up and had completely given myself over to this thing. My family still didn't know anything about me. My family still didn't really know anything. They had their suspicions, and nobody really knew anything about my struggle. Who I was and what I had dealt with, the guys that I had messed around with, nobody knew but God. And so I thank God for his power and capability to pull me up out of that dark place when I had given up on myself.
Praise
God.
Thank you, Jesus. It's, as you were talking, I was thinking about some of us are not struggling with sexual situations, but yeah, so many of us. Pastor Jennifer Lassie said that her church on rescuing ministry is a church where all people are coming. I wanted to highlight myself that it's not just a place for homosexuals, recovering homosexuals, but for everybody in the started naming. Yes, we have, you know, we have liars, we have thieves, we have this, we have that. And I was saying, such were some of us, and such are some of us. A lot of us are hiding. You know, we have a mask like you had in the church. You had a mask or your home.
Yes.
And how many of us are struggling with things that if we could just turn it over to God, that he was going to deliver us from this? When you finally turned everything over to God and realized that he could handle it, is when you really received your deliverance and your praying life. I know.
Amen.
Very instrumental. And the Lord being able to deal with you. I'm just so blessed.
Yes. I thank God for her.
Yes.
I thank God for her.
Yes.
I thank God for her strength. I think that God gave my wife supernatural strength during that time because I remember we did this play at church, and it was an Easter Sunday play, and we said, we're going to do something a little different. And this is after, you know, my living stuff had been taking place, things were being restored, and we said, we're going to do something different. We always talk about, you know, we talk every day throughout the year about the resurrection of Christ, and we honor Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his death and his burial and his resurrection. This year, we're going to honor him in a different way. We're going to detail the lives and the journeys of those who have been resurrected from death. And so I remember I was one of the people, I think it was about four or five of us, that had our life
anything. Nobody knew. We had different people to play us, so nobody would know anything until that Easter Sunday morning. And so after they did my portion, and I was sitting in front of somebody, was like, "Oh my Lord, who did that? That's wicked." And so I was like, "Oh my God," the fear set in. You know, I was like, "Oh God, you know, what's going to happen when I reveal that it was me? Are these people going to still receive me?" And when I stood up and revealed that that was my life story, the overwhelming emotion in the room, and then to have my wife to walk up to the front and put her arms around me and stand by me and say, "Yes, I stood with you. God gave her the supernatural strength and the courage." And to this day, women ask her, "How did you do it? How did you go through knowing that he was developing these relationships and stay married to him?" And I always have to tell people to make sure that they don't get anything twisted. I didn't have money. I wasn't a millionaire. We were struggling. I was not providing my wife with a lavish lifestyle, and so she didn't have any real motivation to stay with me. My wife could have left me at any time, but I believe that it was the supernatural strength from God and the power of God that allowed her to stand with me, pray with me, pray for me. My wife fought for me. She fought with me. I remember we were going through this transparency stage, and I had given her the password to my Facebook, and we had open access to one another's Facebook and emails, and one of the guys from my past tried to connect with me on Facebook, and she went in and denied the request and blocked it and told me about it, and she said, "We're not letting this thing back in again." And so I honor my wife because of her strength and her ability through God to stay with me.
Amen. And if your wife would, I would like for her to give her testimony, because I know that she has a great testimony. We sometimes don't want people to know what we're going through, but that when we go through something, we always can look at it as just to help someone else. And so we can't be afraid. I honor you for being able to give your testimony, because there are a lot of us that have some skeletons, as they say, in our closet that we feel like we would be rejected, but Christ was rejected. But because of his rejection, this is what we have. We have salvation now. So through our life issues and our life struggles, someone else will be able to gain strength, and someone else will be able to overcome. Oh my God, I'm at the point of weeping. So I don't want to start crying, but so awesome. God is so wonderful. He is so wonderful to us, even more than we recognize, even more than we not recognize, because I'm sure if you're walking with Christ, you recognize the things, but sometimes you get negligent, you know, just being grateful to things with God, because something seems so minute. Oh, that's, you know, that's not anything, but then when we look at your life and we say, "See what God has done for you and your wife and your family and your church," we just are in awe, and we just want to give God thanks for what he's done.
Amen. Such an awesome testimony of the power of God, his delivering and saving power. I just thank God for that segment, and I hope that you were able to hear it. We were having some kind of technical difficulties, but to God be the glory. To God be the glory for the great things that he is doing in the lives of his people. Oh, God is just so, I just praise him. I just praise you, Lord. I praise you. And as Pastor Mayberry was giving his testimony, my mind started reflecting back on the guest that we had before him, Pastor Linda Jernigan, who is a formal lesbian, a former lesbian, and how God delivered her and the different steps that he took with her to bring her to that place, and how she told God, I was born this way. And she said, God said, you can be born again. Ha, hallelujah. He said, you can be born again. So there are a lot of people that are going through things. We want to say, we put sin in different categories. We say this is a big sin and this is a small sin and this is a little sin. But sin is sin. And your sin or your iniquity or the things that you're struggling with may not be homosexuality. They could be, I have an anger problem. This is something that's in my family. God said, you can be born again. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Honey, are you there? We have about 3 minutes, and we're going to end the broadcast, but I'm just so thankful for God bringing the powerful testimonies that he allows us to have weekly to give him the glory and to give him the honor. Honey, are you there? Well, he had to step out, so I guess that we lost him, but we just want to end this program with a prayer. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We give you the praise, give you the honor, we give you the glory, because you are worthy, Father. You are worthy. You are worthy. We thank you for being in our lives and moving in a way that is beyond comprehension. Lord, we just thank you and we ask, Lord, that these words resonate in someone's mind, that when they think that there's a situation that they cannot overcome, that you, Lord, are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And we just thank you, looking unto you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith. We know that it is well with our souls. No matter what the situation, it is well. No matter how hard the struggle, it is well. And we thank you, Lord, that we can rest, ah, hallelujah, and we can rely on you. Now, bless the hearers of this broadcast, Father, and give them peace in their mind, peace to know that if you are concerned about flowers that grow and wither away, that you are concerned about us and what we're going through. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We thank you, Lord, for the broadcast. We thank you for every listener. We thank you for every testimony that goes across this broadcast. Thank you for Evangelist Adrian Bernard allowing us to have this opportunity to be on the broadcast. Father, bless her. Bless her endeavors. Bless her naturally. Bless her spiritually. Bless her broadcast. Father, in the name of Jesus, give her everything that you have desired for her to have. And Father, we will be so careful to give your name all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've come to the end of our broadcast, and I'm just thanking God for every listener that has tuned in, whether you're on the internet or whether you're calling live. We just are so grateful for you just being a part of the broadcast. And just remember that Evangelist Adrian Bernard, New Destiny Ministry, broadcasts every day at this same number, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, and 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And remember our broadcast and invite your friends to listen in to They Overcame, where you will be uplifted, where you will be inspired, where you can get your deliverance, where you can hear about the things of God and the marvelous acts of God. And then again on Sunday at 7 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Central Time, and 10 o'clock Eastern Time, every Sunday, Evangelist Bernard has prayer for an hour. Power, start your day off with prayer. And we love you, and we thank you, and we appreciate you joining in to the broadcast. And we just want to praise him. And until next week, we give God the glory. We give him all the praise. In Jesus' name. Honey, are you there? Until next week.
I just want to pray forever, come on.